Inductees into the South Dakota Hall of Fame come from all backgrounds of life, but one thing they all have in common is their daily pursuit of their dreams. In this podcast, you will hear stories of the legacy of these inductees and how these dream chasers have impacted South Dakota in meaningful ways.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Steve Flannery with the South Dakota Hall of Fame. I'm on the board of directors, and today my guest is Paul Gunnerk from Rapid City, South Dakota, New Underwood technically. And Paul, welcome to the South Dakota Hall of Fame. Tonight you're being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And Paul is a very well-known West River educator, businessman, rancher, father. He wears a lot of different hats. And today we're going to talk a little bit about his career and his life and the contribution he's made to the citizens of South Dakota. Paul, being raised near Burke, South Dakota, probably shaped a lot about who you are today.
Well, certainly. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Small community.
People.
Great high school.
Raised on a farm. And what year did you start at School of Mines?
1955, the fall of 1955.
And I know you got a degree in mining engineering. Why did you choose mining engineering?
Shortest line to register. True. It's true.
That's fabulous.
That's a true story.
It really is a true story. Yeah. Okay. And then you went to the University of Minnesota and got
PhD.
But
in the summertime, I worked in mines underground in Idaho and New Mexico and things like that.
Did you ever work in the Homestake Lane?
No. I had a project later when I was teaching at the School of Mines, mining engineering. We had a project at the Homestake Mine.
I had, in my career, I had a lot of machinery in the Homestake Mine,
great.
So I've been all over that mine. And in Idaho, what kind of mines were they?
It's cobalt copper.
Cobalt copper, okay.
Yes.
And why did you choose Minnesota to get your PhD?
It gave me the most money.
Gave you the most money. Okay.
They had the accelerated program to get a PhD without getting a master's degree.
And so when you graduated to PhD, did you immediately come back to the School of Mines and start teaching then?
No, I was finishing up my thesis in 64. And during that time, I spent some summers down in Houston working for Shell Development Company and a couple of years at Rice University and started teaching at the School of Mines when I finally got my degree, doctor's degree.
Who hired you at the School of Mines, you recall?
Well, Partlow was the president at that time.
Okay.
It was the first time.
And how many in your career did you work for, about three or four presidents then?
I knew every president, have known every president of the School of Mines since Partlow.
Since, okay. Great.
All of them.
I really want you to talk a little bit about the impetus for founding RESPEC and what motivated you. How did that all come out? I know your lawyer that did the legal work for you, because I was at the 50th anniversary, and I know Tom Zeller and a few of the people there. But would you tell me what really motivated you and got you to?
I was teaching in mechanical engineering. I had my own research money, actually, at that time,
okay.
Projects. And Harvey Fraser was the president, and I was appointed to as the faculty advisor to the Student Association, which was an extra job. But I wanted to do more research in the department and the school, and it just couldn't come off.
Okay.
And so I decided that maybe I needed to create a company. And so I picked four people that were faculty members, and Mike Demersman, that was an attorney. And we sat down, basically, and created RESPEC, which was short for Research Specialties.
Research, I was wondering, that was my next question, okay. And that was what year?
69 is when we incorporated.
And my knowledge of your career and knowing you for the last 20 or some years, your specialty, you were considered the underground guy in terms of waste storage, nuclear, other things. Would you kind of tell me about how you got into all the rock mechanics and all those things?
Well, that's a long, complicated story, but that's correct. I was, RESPEC worked for a half a dozen different national laboratories. The Department of Energy worked for the Canadian government, the Swedish State Power Board, and in Germany also. With regard to disposal of spent fuel into the earth and all that, and it just grew up, and I was on a lot of missions, you might say, for the Department of Energy and for Sandia National Laboratory, involved in a lot of the work that led to the selection of the site in Nevada. And then myself and one of my friends, we went through 36 design options for characterizing that facility in Nevada. And it took us about a year to go through it all. And meanwhile, during that period of time, we were answering to a panel that was provided by the President of the United States on a regular basis. And we came out with the proper characterization process, and I delivered different presentations to NRC and Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Department of Energy, and so forth and so on. It just sort of happened.
And you've been all over the world, I know that. Can you give us some of the more remote areas and some of the more interesting types of projects that you worked on?
For 13 years, I was the Department of Energy's person that they supported for membership in the STREPA project in Sweden, and that was under the auspices of the Organization of Economic and Cooperative Development out of Paris. And it involved Sweden, Finland, England, Switzerland, the United States, Canada, and Japan, seven countries. And each country had a representation. And that project is an underground mine in Sweden called STREPA. STREPA is a Swedish word for stripes in there. But anyway, the first 6 or 7 years I was assistant to the chair of that. The chair of that was Rudy Beck of the project, and he had just retired from Shell Oil Company, where he was in charge of all exploration in the world outside of the United States. And so after 6 or 7 years, he retired, and I was elected the chair of all this. And I went through, and we finished up the project after a total of 13 years, and I was one of the
And what kind of a mine was it?
Iron mine,
okay.
It's about 1,300 feet deep in Sweden.
What's the deepest you've ever been underground in your career?
Well, the Homestake, I was down to 5,000.
5,000, okay.
5,500.
Typically, you wouldn't go that deep in most of the stuff that you did.
Well, it depends on the rock type.
Okay.
If in salt, you don't hardly get below maybe 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 feet because you can't keep the openings open because they squeeze together because of the stresses in the earth.
Okay.
In crystalline rock and granite, you can go down 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 feet if you need. You don't have a problem. It depends on the water content and all the rest.
And usually was it either spent nuclear fuels?
Spent nuclear fuel.
Hazardous waste? No.
Spent fuel out of nuclear reactors.
Okay.
That was the purpose of it all.
Okay. And you got out in what, 1991? Is that when you?
Yeah, roughly in 90, 91. I was out of the States for 100 days a year.
Yeah.
And working on three projects, one in Sweden, one in for Sandia National Laboratories, and one for the Department of Energy in Washington, D.C. So I was hooked in all directions.
So being raised on a farm, tell me about Tabletop, when you bought your ranch, and what, you just wanted to get in the cattle business after all this?
Well, I had a small place north of Wausau for a number of years. That was about 1,300 acres. And when I left Respect the following summer, whatever, they bought me out. And I had a chunk of money, and I was looking to buy a ranch, and this one came up north of New Underwood.
And what type of cattle do you raise on that?
Longhorn and Angus.
Combination of the two. So when you retired, talk about, then you got involved in the board of water and natural resources.
Well, there was an interview in there, intervening period of time. When I bought the ranch, and I was living in New Underwood and had a condo in Rapid City, I got involved with Rapid City Economic Development Partnership with Bob DeMersman.
That's where I think you and I got first involved, because I was chairman of that.
I was involved for 3 or 4 or 5 years in that, something like that. Then I got hooked into being the president and executive vice president of the Alumni Association for 14 years. And And after that was over with, in about 2006, my colleague out there, neighbor, and I put together a rural water system, the Viewfield Rural Water System, a $3 million operation covering about 400 square miles and with ranches, farms, and homesteads and that, and we have 80 signups or something like that. And then meanwhile, I was asked to join the group that was the advisor to the mechanical engineering department at the School of Mines.
Okay.
So we meet twice a year. And then
Rounds
appointed me to the Board of Water and Natural Resources.
Okay.
After our water project was gone. And that sort of wound me down. I've been on that board now for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years.
And part of your work before you retired, you did a lot of work in the Big Sioux River watershed area, right?
Well, in all the watershed areas.
In all the watershed areas,
yeah.
Okay.
Because that's where we had a lot of projects, a lot of proposals for water and sewer systems.
Okay.
And that's how it got.
And so are you still on the Board of
Yes.
Water and Natural Resources?
I was appointed twice. By Rounds and then by Duguid, and now I've been reappointed by Governor
Noem.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And what do you see for the rest of your career here?
You're just winding down.
Winding down, focusing on your ranch.
Living on my laurels.
You know, yeah, look at your awards. You've had a lot of awards. Outstanding Educator of the Year. You were the March Medal winner for the Outstanding Alumni. Outstanding Public Service to the University. You're in the Hard Rock Hall of Fame. And now you're in the South Dakota Hall of Fame.
I thought when I went to Hard Rock Hall of Fame, I'd reached the top of my pinnacle.
Well, here you are. And you've really made a difference in South Dakota. And we're really pleased that you were willing to sit down with us today and share a little bit about your life story.
Thank you for inviting me to do this.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the South Dakota Hall of Fame and these dream chasers, visit our website at www.sdexcellence.org. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram.